Welcome to Pause and Reflect, the podcast where compassion meets action, and where we dive deep into the stories of those who advocate for the voiceless, nurture our planet, and foster a more compassionate world. I'm your host, Alexander Taylor Clayton, here to explore the intersections of animal welfare, environmental sustainability, and the innovative solutions shaping our future. So sit back, stay curious, and join us as we reflect on the change we wish to see in the world. Let's embark on this journey together. All right. I'm joined here with Stacey, who went through the Walda adoption process, and we're going to go do a deep dive in with you and go through and how that went. Thank you, Stacey, so much for joining us today on the podcast. It's great to have you here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for asking me. I feel honored to have been asked and to participate in this very important issue of adopting pets that need homes.
And to jump right into it, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you're from? Tell us about yourself.
Well, originally I'm from California. I moved out to South Carolina quite a few years ago, and I just fell in love with the place. I think this is really where I took the step in. I've always been an animal lover and an animal advocate, and I think this is really where I stepped into taking more of a role in it. First, signing petitions and getting involved, writing letters to schools about doing basic testing on animals and whatnot. And
so this is something that you've always been passionate about for as long as you can remember at this point.
Yes, very much so. And I think this is where I really was given the tools. And it started off slow. And then I took more of a step into it. I started making donations, started sending more emails and more letters. And the organizations that I supported, Rolda, of course, being one of them, was, I think it was an enlightened moment when I found out that, hey, this is not just money you're sending to some invisible person or organization. These people are really doing what they should be doing with the money. They really do care. And they're really taking care of the animals that they're saving, they're rescuing, and trying to find forever homes for. And that was really very motivational. I started becoming more aware of what they do. I honed in on Rolda and really felt that they were doing an amazing job. And I have to say that I have a deep appreciation for the fact that Dana started this so early in life. I mean, she really is a person that has a huge heart. It's in the right place. She's doing what she can. And I know it's not easy. And for someone like her, especially so young, to go ahead and do something like that, she really was tenacious and she really was very dedicated. And my hat is off to her. I admire and respect her greatly for what she's done.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at her profile on the website for her UK website for Rolda, and you look at the bio behind her and everything that Dana's gone through to create Rolda in the first place, it really is impressive and inspiring. It's incredible. The tenacity, the energy. It's what made me want to come on and work with Rolda in the first place. Was like, here's the person who really cares and really puts in their best foot forward and all of their energy into this, because it matters. And you can really feel that through them in everything that they do. And you want to work with a company that does that. You want to work with a company or a nonprofit or whoever, a person who has that sort of ethos, that ethical understanding that you feel like you can work with them. And Dana has that. That's wonderful. I completely agree.
Yeah. And I think with their energy, it just kind of vibrates to the point where it makes you stop and think, well, why aren't I more involved? This is something that means something to me. What can I do to help out? And I think that her doing this and blazing a path really brings other people in, like-minded people who want to do the same thing but maybe don't have the means to, but they help out and do what they can where they can. So anybody who is involved with Rolda in any way, shape, or form, be it great or small, and there is no real such thing as small, because when you're helping out, you are part of it. And it really just makes you feel good at the end of the day that these pets are never going to know who you are, but right. It really doesn't matter. You're not doing it for you. You're doing it for them.
Right. And it's true. And it takes a community. It takes a village to do these sorts of things. You have to come together as a community to work as a team to help with these issues. And it's no one person can do it themselves.
Oh, I agree. Anybody who's out there in the field doing what they're doing, especially when this thing with the Ukraine happened. Oh, these people were risking their lives, and they were true soldiers as far as I'm concerned. They weren't part of the army, so to speak, but they were an army of people who are trying to help others with their pets and save animals from whatever catastrophe was they were facing. And to me, people who do stuff like that are true heroes. They really are.
I think it's a testament to human character and the strength of human kindness when there's a people in the middle of a war they didn't start, and it inflicted great suffering upon the region. And in this time, there are people out there whose first thought is still, hey, but what about all these other creatures? They're also suffering. And that, to me, is incredibly beautiful and amazing, utterly amazing. Because it's very easy for anybody else going through that go, I'm just trying to survive on my own. And to step outside of that and still do all this work, amazing, truly incredible.
Oh, I agree. I mean, these people, they stretch out their arms and say, come on, I want to help you.
It's a big heart. And so now, have you adopted other dogs before? I know you have a huge family of dogs there at the house.
Yeah, we do. Actually, we have a lot of pets. We've adopted others. Here in South Carolina, we adopted two little girls. They're now about 4 years old. I have run across strays that I've taken in to my home. I have a dog that we adopted from South Korea, who was part of the cat and dog meat trade, I think. Yeah, I think she was born into it. And what was scary was that the person was going to release the puppies and the boy, but he didn't want to let her go. And so the whole city pretty much convinced him by demonstrating. And so he released her, but she was extremely traumatized. Here we are a few years later, and I keep in touch with the person who fostered her. And she's really come a long way, but it takes patience. It takes understanding that, you know, this was a traumatic situation. This is all new to them. Everything is scary until they know they could trust you. And I think you're going to, find that pretty much with any pet or any person.
You'd find that with any person who's gone through significant trauma. I mean, there's trauma responses, whether you're in, because we're animals too. It's fundamentally the same when you really get down to it. And so, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it really was. With her, it was kind of like, okay, I can learn to trust you. And it's taken a little bit. With Jaxton, his name at adoption was Dream. And I could see why. I had these dreamy amber grayish eyes. And I think when he was a puppy, they were more gray, but now they've turned into an amber color. And we just went to the vet. Now we're in the part of the year where everybody starts going to the veterinarian. And he was just a star. They loved him. And he walked
in
very
friendly. You always love hearing that.
I mean, you really do, because, you know, he's just a very friendly boy. He knows who his family is. He does what he's supposed to do at the house. He barks whenever somebody comes by. But you take him out, and he's just so well-adjusted. He's just the personality plus. He really is. He's our little star. So, yeah, he's amazing.
So how did you come across Ralda and their adoption program to begin with? I know we have a lot of praise for Ralda, but what initially was it that caught your eye with them?
Initially, I'd been signing petitions for other people, and then somehow I got an email from them, and I looked into it, and I thought, wow, I really like what I see. I really like what I'm reading. And so I kept up with it, and the more and more the emails came, and I got like newsletters and all that, and I thought, wow, this person is really doing a great thing. And that's initially how it started. I didn't know anything about the adoption process. I didn't even know that there were pets up for adoption. Had no clue. And then one day I clicked into a link and it said, see our pets up for adoption. I was, wow, this is really cool. And I didn't take any steps forward at that point. But then later on, and what didn't take much longer, really, to be honest with you, it was probably, I don't know, 6 months to a year later. And I thought, let me go ahead and see what this is all about. It just sort of happened. And we went ahead and put in an application for another dog, and he was already promised to someone else. So Dana said, I'll tell you what, this is Dream. I want you to put in an application for Dream, and we think this would be a great match. So I said, okay. So I went ahead and I put in the application for Dream, and he was about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months old at the time. And your initial thought is somebody's going to snatch him up because he's a puppy. And I'd never have a chance with him. And because I did like hone in on him at first. It was funny that she said that.
And it's so true. People tend to go for puppies more than they do adult, mature dogs because they're already sort of set in their ways, a little harder to retrain if necessary. That is a thing.
Right, right. And I think they were too concerned about it would be harder on an adult dog, the flight over.
Right. And just to remind the viewers, you know, Rada is located in Ukraine and we're here in the United States. It's quite a distance across the pond to go.
Yeah. They are located in Romania. I just felt this connection and to the organization and to her and to Dream. So I thought, okay, let me go ahead and give this a shot. So they go ahead and they look at your application and they look at that. And you have to give have somebody, you know, like actually see where this pet is going to be coming to. So that was,
ask if there was any specific requirements or for the paperwork or anything you had to complete being a U.S. citizen, make sure that you know, yes. Safe home and such.
Right. And they do look into your background. They, from what I was told, and we had to go ahead and do FaceTime. So this is where we're going to be living. This is what the house looks like. These are the family members. These are the other pets. And at the time we had another dog. She's since, you know, passed, but it was a lot of fun because it was like, okay, these are all the cats. These are all the dogs.
Yeah.
And this is the backyard. This is the house. And then afterwards, when it came back, Dana was like, okay, everything looked good, but I do have some more questions for you. And basically those questions are you going to be able to support this dog? Do you have a backup plan? Something happens to you. Well, you do understand that there are no take backs once this dog is yours. You know, that's the way it is. And we do require that for at least 2 weeks, we want updates. We want to see pictures. We want to get emails. We want to know how this pet is doing. And everything was like, check off, check off, check off. This, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And I even told her too, if you want, I can get a letter of testimony from my vet to say, this is the kind of pet mom I am.
Oh, there you go. And that's a good idea. That's a good thought.
Yeah. I mean, if you're well established, the veterinarian is going to say, okay, yeah, this is a great home. It's a safe home. And so everything went well. It took about maybe a couple weeks. And nothing happened like snap, 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 here we go. It took a couple weeks and she came back and she said, you're approved. And so then started the process of trying to get him moved from where he was to where he was going to ship out from. And that was an interesting process. At the
right,
time,
yeah.
My mom
I'd
was
love
really
to know more about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny because at the time, my mom was really sick and I couldn't leave to go up to JFK from South Carolina to go up there and pick him up. So I did hire somebody. It's a pet transport company. And I was very lucky to find them, to be honest with you, because apparently this is like a big business. And pretty much everybody that I reached out to said, sorry, we can't do it.
Oh, well, if these were good folks, let's give them a shout out. Who were they? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was Save Them All. And they really did a great job. And they were reasonably priced. And they were ready to work with me. The only hiccup was once, and I know the transport company was really busy and Dana was keeping up with them and they were keeping up with her and they were letting me know what was going on. And at one point there was a question as to when he was going to ship out. And so Dana kept her finger on the pulse. She wasn't letting it drop. She didn't let it go. She, as busy as she is, she made sure that, hey, we've got these dogs that are shipping out. We want to make sure that they're getting there. And so they got to where they were going from. And I don't remember where that was. I'm sorry. And then they flew to JFK. And then the transport company, once he got there, said, hey, they're kind of holding them ransom for $100. So,
oh, what, they had to do a silly fee or something?
Could be. And she was right there to pick them up, but they were saying, pretty much, this dog is ours until. So I went ahead and I got her the money as fast as I could, and which took a couple of minutes, and she picked him up and on the way down, and he had to spend the night. And this is all over the 4th of July.
So extremely busy weekend.
Yes, extremely busy. And he finally arrived. And when he came in, he came bounding into the house like he had not met a stranger ever. And he, at this point, was 6 months old. He was a really large puppy. And we were like, oh my gosh, he's going to be a moose when he gets old, when he grows up. And he is a big dog. He is a big dog. He's anywhere, he ranges anywhere between 70, 80 pounds, more like 70, 75 pounds.
I love but a big dog. I love a dog that can tackle me and go out and rough house. It's great.
Well, it's funny because he likes to play rough. And so it's like, you have to be in a special mood to go ahead and want to tackle him. But he gets really excited. He gets super excited and just loves to play. And he still does that to this day. So we got him on immediately on the same diet as everybody else. And he did rather well. We got him in to see the veterinarian within 2 weeks of him being here. I gave the report back to Dana. And he's just, he's the only boy dog that we have. So the rest of them are girls. And he knows who's part of his crew. And he looks out for them. He is Papa. Yeah, he is Papa to the two youngest ones. They just glommed onto him. And he's just, he's really great. He's really great with the cats. He's really great with the other dogs. He's really great with people.
He just seamlessly entered into the family. He's one of, you know.
Yeah, it was like, okay, something was missing and now here you are and that void is filled. It was just a perfect match. She was absolutely right. I think she really puts a lot of energy and time into trying to find the right match. Because if it's not a good match, it's just not going to work. And that turns into a catastrophe. You don't need that.
Because it is a relationship. You know, it is a relationship. They have their own personality. You have yours. You want to make sure that it works. That's very
right. And you want, yeah. And you want to make sure that it's one of those things where you do become a forever family for this puppy, this boy, or this girl that comes into your home. And it's so very important because, again, like us, people say, well, you know, they don't feel, they don't have emotions. I beg to differ.
Oh, fundamentally untrue.
Yeah. I've seen where they felt sad. You can't mask that. And I didn't want him to feel like he didn't have a family. He seemed pretty well adjusted. And I think he thrived on a lot of attention while he was there. They seemed to take really good care of him. I have baby pictures of him. So cute. And he just got in a bath from one of them.
Oh, I bet that's a really cute photo.
It really is. It really is. He's glomming onto the guy who's holding on to him. And he just turned out to be really great. And that's why I think there are dogs, I'm sure, that they get in that are not as well adjusted. And again, to be fair, Dream was a baby when he came into it all. You have pets that come in where they were a little bit older. Sometimes they didn't have
when they're younger,
great starts.
As is true of any human being, when they're younger, they're more, their brains, their personality, it's more malleable. It's more pliable. It's able to bounce back easier and it's less set in their ways than when you get older. That's any creature.
Right. And I think that she does an amazing job. She doesn't just try to throw these pets into different homes saying, okay, this is our success rate. No, she really seems to put a lot of thought into it. There are a couple of dogs that I would have loved to have given a chance to, but I don't think the personality would have matched some of mine. And I did watch over a period of time, and eventually they did find forever homes. And I thought that was really, you know, really pretty cool. The fact that she didn't rush anything. Everything is, you know, carefully thought through. And I just honestly, it was a good experience for me.
There's a level of conscientiousness there that is really, you want to see, we need more of it in today's world. And it's so wonderful to see it when it happens because we need that. You need that level of thought to go into things.
Right. I really believe that there are some that will just, okay, you came to apply for a dog, here you go.
And it's true.
She wasn't like that. She wasn't like that. And I think that earns a lot more respect as well because she's really trying to do the right thing. This is a person who really believes in doing this and being, and she's part of being there for this pet. Again, these pets will never know who we are, but the whole point is that we're doing what we can for them because in essence, they need us too. They can't do it themselves. And I really believe in her and her organization. And as a matter of fact, there was this petition site called Lady Freethinker, who I think it's, I don't know if they're still doing it, but an annual award where the shelter or rescue that most needs the money, they get about $10,000.
Right. We talked about the free thinker before. Yeah. Listeners, that's another place to check out. Please do.
Oh, yeah. And she is no joke. They really get down and dirty with it, too. They get into the trenches. And I have tremendous amount of respect for them because they are also another organization that just really puts their right foot forward. And so I contacted Dana, let her know. I gave her all the information that I could. And then she applied. And this was the first time, I guess, it had ever happened. But she and another rescue, one in Turkey, they both won. So I don't know if they got the whole thing or if it was split or what, but it really, I'm sure, came in handy because you have a lot of pets in your care. You need to be able to function. Now,
proper funding is very important for, especially when you're a very mission heavy or a mission oriented organization like RALDA is. That funding is incredibly important. Every dollar matters.
Right. And it's one of those things where you need the medications, you need the food, you need the toys, you need to have clean drinking water. You need to be able to build facilities, keep them safe. There's so many different things, and each one of them comes with their own special needs, whether it be a lot, maybe a little, but everybody needs a little bit of something. And of course, food and water, clean water is key.
I know RALDA right now is actually trying to get funding to expand their operations and their facilities to be able to house more cats, dogs, even a couple rescue donkeys that they have on site, just creating more pens for like donkeys, horses, other animals who are also trying to like make safe space for them during this wartime and this region. So that's incredibly important.
It really is. It really is. And like you said, it's a testament to the people who are there, who are spearheading all this, because without them, you could have as many donations as you want, but without the people who are willing to put in the time and the effort, that's where it really starts. It's the idea of somebody caring enough, and then the rest of it just falls into place. And there are so many people out there who would like to do something, but they don't know how to. They like to give something. And it's just one of those things where you go onto the website and give if you can. Sign petitions if they have them. Tell other people, spread the word. Even just doing that is very helpful. We took it a step further. We went ahead and adopted, but you know, if you're in a situation where you can't do that, anything that you can do to help out is greatly appreciated. These people really are the real deal.
Absolutely.
They are not, you know, some charlatan who's out there trying to rake you for your money. These people are actually down there in the trenches making a difference. And I hope that she keeps going strong for many, many years to come.
And I hope you're listening, too, on that, listener, because like I said, every little bit counts. Yeah, if you can't donate money, even if it's a dollar, like 1,000 people donating $1, that's $1,000. That matters. But even if you can't do that, like animal pet food, canned goods, blankets, anything can be donated and useful. You'd be surprised
what
you could donate. So please look into it. Look into it.
Before we dive deeper into today's topic, I want to take a moment to talk about the heart behind our podcast, RALDA, the Romanian League in Defense of Animals. RALDA is more than just an organization. It's a beacon of hope for thousands of animals in need. With a dual mission of rescuing distressed animals in Romania and preventing animal suffering through effective spay and neuter campaigns, RALDA has transformed the lives of animals and communities alike. Our efforts extend beyond rescue and rehabilitation. We're committed to creating sustainable solutions that address the root causes of animal homelessness and neglect. From building modern sanctuaries to provide a safe haven for animals, to education and outreach programs that foster a culture of care and respect, RALDA is on the front lines, making a tangible difference every single day. But this journey isn't one we walk alone. It's the support from people like you, our listeners, who share our passion for animal welfare that empowers RALDA to continue our vital work. Whether it's by volunteering, spreading the word, or making a donation, every action counts towards creating a better world for animals. To learn more about how you can be a part of this transformative mission, visit RALDA.org. If you would like to donate to RALDA and help save a life today, visit RALDA.org/donate. Together, we can make a difference, one animal at a time. Now, let's get back to our story.
To go back to the adoption process, just to end cap it, how long do you think the total process from beginning to start would you say was?
It was, I'm going back a couple of years here. I would say probably a couple of months. It was a couple of months. So, I mean, you have to remain patient. Mm-hmm. They're not going to jump right on it and say, okay, it goes click, 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 and here we are. We're done. Now this pet's coming to you. You know,
right,
good luck.
This is a process.
It took a couple of months. Right. And the thing is, too, is that I decided, because I do respect her so much and I do like her as a person, we've actually kept in touch. It's not every day, but occasionally she'll reach out and send an email, say, hey, how's Dream? Or I'll just randomly just send her pictures.
Oh, no, says everything right there, because if it was a company that was just trying to, like, hey, it just move these animals around, you know, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't have that sort of personal touch or care. They would go, okay, job's done, move on. And the fact that Dana does that is in itself says everything about rolling the process.
I agree. And knowing how busy they are, I'm always amazed that she takes the time to do that. And what really makes you feel good about, you know, what they're doing even more so, because it's that they're tapped for time, that their energy levels are probably waning some days.
I mean, there's
days,
a literal war on. And yeah. They're still doing this, and they're still finding the time and the energy to do this. Incredible.
I agree. But, you know, the adoption process does not happen right away. And is it free? No, it is not free. You are paying for basically is the travel for the crate that the dog comes in. And if there's somebody that's flying out with them, it's a lot of them go for free, but it's to make sure that there is someone there to take care of them, to make sure that they have their potty time and they get their food and their water and make sure that everything in their crate is okay. So it's someone to care for them, and they're not just luggage. And So this person that goes with them is there as their caretaker. And so, yes, it is a little bit costly, but it's not to the point where it's going to break a wallet. And
it's feasible.
I think it is. And so it takes a little bit. It takes a little bit. And she gives you the information on how to go ahead and pay them. Basically, if you want to go ahead and write anything in there in the remarks, or who to address it to, she'll give you all that information. At no point are you just kind of finding your way through that. No, it's step by step. This is what we're going to do. This is how you do it. If you have
Dana's
any questions,
right there
let
with
me
you,
know.
Supporting you through the entire process. Like, well, at least Dana was. Rolda's supporting you throughout the entire process, so you never really feel alone doing it.
No. No, you never do. Basically, they walk you through. Once you contact them, it'll take the amount of time it's going to take, because they are busy, and so they'll get back to you. And most of your communication is via email.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have certain expectations. They do want to see that this pet is doing well. They want to know when you're going to take them to the vet. They want to see if you have any other pets they're going to get along with, any family members. Is it a safe environment? Do you have a fence where they can't run out into the middle of the street? They want to know all this. There are certain things that they're looking for, and they want to see proof. And they're very cautious. They're very into making sure that this pet's going to be okay. And I think that's a really great thing. They do go the extra mile. It's not free. You do have to pay for it, but it's a reasonable price when you really think about it. And You're doing a great thing. And I know a lot of people would say, well, why would you bring in a pet from overseas when you have so many needy ones here? And
actually, that's a great question. I was about to ask you that myself. What's your thoughts on that? I would love to know.
Well, I guess it's one of those things where, you know, first of all, that is a good point. We have so many other needy pets here, and you can't, unfortunately, adopt them all, because believe me, if I could, I would. But you have to feel that connection. And I never thought that I would adopt from overseas. I really never thought that I would do it. But when you're looking, and I saw plenty of dogs and cats that were for adoption, plenty of them. But when you feel that connection and you can't explain it, it's just there.
It's like
all
a
of
theme.
A sudden, you're
it's just.
Yeah. Right. It's like seeing someone for the first time and thinking, I know I'm really going to get along with this person, or I'm not going to get along with this person. You just
we're gonna be best
have
friends.
That. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's, you know, like you just know, it's this feeling, this intrinsic knowledge that this pet is supposed to be home with me. And there was just a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I've adopted here from the United States, but I also realized too that there are other pets from other places that do need seriously good homes Well, because they've gone through more with the war zone. I think they've gone through more than some pets here, although I wouldn't attest to, there are some pets here who have gone through a lot too and need really good homes. Well, I think that as long as you can provide a home, it's important no matter where the pet comes from.
And I think that's the argument to be made there for like why to adopt overseas necessarily rather than locally sometimes is because while yes, there are, there's a serious problem here in the United States too, especially after the pandemic, after COVID-19 hit. Oh God, there were so many families who were like, let's get an animal. And then the world started up again and they realized they couldn't continue taking care of it. And the homeless population here in the United States exploded for animals. It's horrible. But I think the argument for adopting overseas is, while there's pain here as well, there's also, you kind of have to go by a case-by-case basis. Like, yes, there's issues here, but when you look over here, it's kind of almost like degrees of scale, and I don't necessarily like doing that when it comes to pain, but there is a reality to that.
Well, it's one of those things where I think, and I could be wrong, but I think that most pets here in the United States, if they're adopted here, they probably stand a better chance than a dog, say, overseas. Again, I got one of mine from the cat and dog meat trade. Basically, we literally saved her life. I think for Dream, whose name is now Jaxton, I think that for him, they needed special placement for him because he was just a baby. And he's the kind of personality that he's going to soak in the environment that he's around. Mm-hmm. So I think if somebody who wouldn't have had such great intentions had adopted him, I think that could have put him in a different category. But as it is, we have him and he's just a lovable guy. So I think they face more danger sometimes, depending on where they are.
Right. But I think what ultimately matters is whether it's here or overseas, at the end of the day, you've managed to save someone who's no longer suffering and now has a good home. And I think that's ultimately what matters.
Right. And honestly, it's whenever you bring anybody into your home, you have to have that connection. You have to.
You do.
And for some reason, it was those two from overseas. And I adopted from here as well, the local shelter that I used to like to go to.
I want to applaud you for a second just for doing that. Thank you. You're amazing for doing all that. If nobody's told you, you are.
I appreciate that. That sounds really nice. But I think at the end of the day, I think that basically it's not so much that they're lucky I have them. I think I'm lucky I have them.
Right. Because it goes both ways. Because, in a way, they're trying to save you too. They bring in this love and joy into your life that they fit into this spot that, like you said earlier, there was something missing, and then suddenly now it's not because Jackson's there.
Yeah, he just kind of melded into the family, and I thought, what would I have done had he not ever been in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that way about each one of my pets. I really do. What would I have done if they weren't there? You can't imagine yourself without them in your life. And because they bring with them such an innocence and a love, and they want to lavish attention on you and they want attention lavished on them. They're just like regular dogs and cats. I mean, they're not expecting anything more or less. And they just bring this unconditional love that no matter where they come from in this whole big world, you really hope to give them the best that you can.
Absolutely. Well, as we're getting close to wrapping up here, is there any message that you would want to share with our listeners about the importance of animal adoption and rights? I think we've made a pretty good testament throughout the whole podcast here, but is there anything specific you'd like to say on that, on those topics?
Yeah, basically my message would be to anybody, even if you don't have the means to adopt or you're living in an area where maybe you're not allowed to have pets, anything that you can do. Donating your time, donating your money, spreading the word, signing petitions, helping out where you can, buying something and taking it to a shelter, toys, it doesn't matter. It could be food. It doesn't matter. It's sometimes just taking blankets or towels, something along those lines. Whatever you can do, it is important. There is no greater donation. There is no lesser donation. It is all equal because at the end of the day, you're doing it to help somebody who really does need help.
Kindness is its own reward a lot of the time. And we need to remember that kindness is its own merit.
It really is. And no matter what you can do, please do it. Because even though they'll never know who you are, at the end of the day, you're going to know that you did the right thing. You did a good thing. It can mean the difference between life and death for some.
It really can. Is there any other organizations or anything that you're a part of that you'd like to plug here at the end? I know we mentioned Lady Freethinker. Obviously, Rolda, we love Rolda.
Of course, Rolda. Yes, Rolda. And it's no longer an organization. I hope that they go ahead and organize again. But it used to be Save Korean Dogs, and they were operating out of South Korea.
And that was the one you went with before.
That's where I got my little one, where she was part of the cat and dog meat trade, yes. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of good organizations. Ugh. There is one shelter in particular that here in the United States that I support.
Sorry,
there are others that I've been
looking
into.
I started to wig out over here when I just, the lines of cat and dog meat trade just send shivers down my spine. It's just so great.
Yeah.
It's so, well, man, that's so evil.
Well, when you see how traumatized, she came from South Korea, flew into California where her foster was. When you see that it takes 9 or 10 months, and when she got here, she was still afraid of everything. When you see that kind of trauma in a dog that's very, very young, mm-hmm. then you really, it kind of wakes you up. This isn't just their problem. It's a global problem. And we're all responsible. And so that's why I say, take a stand. Help save someone's life. There is no such thing as too little of whatever you can give. As long as your heart is, you know, in the right place, your intentions are good, that's really what they want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on a podcast with us today. It's great to have you here, and it's great to get a deep dive into the whole adoption process with Rolda, really shine a light on it. And I'm so happy, you know, again, I'm so happy you're here. I'm delighted that Jackson has really found his home and is just thriving. That's so wonderful.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. And I have Rolda to thank for that. And thank you for doing what you're doing. And thank you for allowing me this opportunity. It really means a lot. I was thrilled to be part of it.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to Pause and Reflect, a podcast made possible by Rolda, the Romanian League in Defense of Animals. Today's conversation reminds us of the power of empathy, the importance of stewardship, and the ripple effect of individual actions towards collective change. If today's story inspired you, please share this episode and help spread the message of hope and action. Every little bit counts. I'm Alexander Taylor Clayton, reminding you to reflect on the role you play in this intricate web of life. Until next time, keep positive, carry the spirit of compassion and curiosity wherever you go.